Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is we should be like-minded in the Lord, even in times of differences. I'm not sure what really prompted me on this one, folks, but there's so many differences going on that people can't even handle to have a conversation. It's the only thing I could figure, because yesterday and the last couple of weeks and probably the last year, actually, maybe even longer, people have taken this whole I have an opinion personal. If someone wants to have a conversation with you and they start to get into a discussion that gets a difference of opinions, they seem to forget that we're supposed to be Christians, like-minded, and many even churches are having a problem and a struggle with trying to stay focused on the like-mindedness of Christ. So that may be where I was going with it. I'm not positive. That's how I felt anyways. We'll see where the Lord takes us this morning. But as always, I have a song for you while everybody gets ready to come here. The song is How Great Thou Art. We'll play that. It's about a little more than 2 minutes, but we'll play that, and I may end it at 2 minutes. So God bless you. Thank you for coming out and listening. Then we'll do the prayers when I come back. For being here, and God bless you. This morning's prayer request, folks, Christy Dinkle's oldest son is being confirmed and baptized this morning, so please pray for him. Pray that everything goes well, that he gets baptized, that he gets confirmed, that he believes in Jesus Christ, that he knows that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. So please pray for that. Pray for my little granddaughter, Jalexis, today. She's taking an SSAT test. Because she's a smart little girl, and the school that she goes to said that if she does that and passes, that they'll help pay for some of her education and get her into the right schools and things like that. Pray for Annette Lewis Gift on the loss of her son. Her son passed away this past week, so please pray for that. Pray for my friend Sandy as she runs in a 5K race today. Just help her to have a good day, that everything goes well, and that she's going to be okay in that, that she won't be too stressed out and what have you with that. Pray for our families. Pray for our community. Pray for our food pantries, folks, that they continue to be able to get the abundance that they have, that they're able to use it to share and give out to those that are in need, and help my ministry, folks. And that's a prayer that I've been asking for a while, that the Lord would just grow my ministry and point me in the right direction and be able to help others more and more every day, not for my glory, but for the glory of God, and be able to give me the ability and the accuracy to share God's written word, and not that it would get caught up stumbling in any event, no matter what, that the devil doesn't get away in there and try to ruin anything. I thank you for coming out and for listening this morning. God bless you, and thank you for being here. This morning's message, as I said, I'm not quite sure what really prompted me on that direction, but that's where we're going, and that's what we're going to stay with. So the message this morning is this: why should we be like-minded in the Lord, even in times of differences? And we're going to start out in Joshua 24, and we're going to go at verse 14 through 15. So if you'll go there with me to Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now, it says this. It says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods," and this is with a little g, "the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Father, thank you for allowing us to get the gospel out. Thank you for being able to share. And I hope that it touches somebody's heart, and that somewhere along the line the message gets just to the right point that you want it, Father, that as it always has and always will. And I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the ability to pray for others this morning as well. And thank you for letting those come out and listen, Lord. God bless you, and thank you for being here again. Now, here's what I get from that. It says this. It says, "Fear the Lord." Now, I know from reading Scripture that the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. So if we're fearing the Lord, then we'll have better knowledge, because God says, look, if you read my word, you'll see what you're to fear and how you should fear it and why. And it also goes on to say, and serve him in sincerity. That means to do things in a manner that we would want to sincerely serve our God. Not halfway, not partway, not once in a while. And this is that whole thing about like-mindedness. If we're like-minded, folks, right, then we're sincere in these things. We would want to serve the Lord. We wouldn't be upset with one another. When there's a difference of opinions, we don't get all upset and worked up over it. We try to sort through it and go, okay, what's happening here? And is this a difference of opinion that the devil's trying to cause dissension among believers? Or is this two people that are talking, be it whether they're both worldly or whether they're Christ-like? Now, if you're Christ-like, I would hope you would want to be more like-minded as Christ would and have a conversation with one another, but do it in a manner where you're not taking it so personal that it would affect you to the point where you would be angry with one another. This world has started to be everything so politically correct and politically motivated and politically this and politically that, and offensive, and the moment you say anything to people, they get offended. Now, I had a conversation with somebody about working on a vehicle the other day, and their opinion and mine didn't match, and rather than go any further, I just stopped because I could tell it was becoming argumentative. Whereas this is the way it has to be, this is the way it is, and I'm right, and that's that. Well, that's fine. Then I just took a step back and said, well, there's no sense getting into this, and that's how we should be in all our conversations, because we should be like-minded, okay? But that doesn't mean that we're right or wrong. It means we should be like-minded in Christ. Christ didn't argue out with people. The Bible is written, and that's the truth, and that's the way it is, and it says that here, in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods, and this is the gods. If you want to go there, if you want to look at the gods of this world, we have sun gods, wood gods, stone gods, you name it. There's a god of everything nowadays. But most of them are false gods. Most of these things that people go to church, not most. Matter of fact, most of these churches today that are sharing the gospel, a lot of them are saying if you don't do this or the other, then you're not going to be saved. And it doesn't really say that in Scripture, because the Holy Spirit is what guides us. It's God that calls us. It's the Holy Spirit that guides us. From the moment we decide that there is a God and that Jesus Christ is the Savior, once we start to do that, once we've made that decision that we've accepted Jesus Christ as the only Son of God, right then and there, the Holy Spirit will start to work in you. And it says, right in the Bible, it says, whosoever will, okay? So, and we'll go there, but if we go down the list further, it says this, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, in other words, you can't stand the idea of serving the Lord, choose ye this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods, little god, little g, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Well, what? If you're going to serve the Lord, then you serve the Lord. Don't serve him halfway. Don't serve him partway. And it may mean at times that you're persecuted for that, but that's okay because God says that's all right if we're persecuted for it. But if we're Christians, we don't mind being persecuted because we're like-minded. We know that God said, listen, they hated Jesus first. That's why they put him on the cross. Now, if we go and look at Romans 15, I want to share something from you because here's where we're going with this, folks. I've got other verses and chapters, and I'll go along. I'll give you a little bit of time. Go to Romans chapter 15, and we're going to look at Romans 15. I believe it's, where'd I go with my notes? Here we go. 15:5. Yeah, 15:5. And it says this in Romans 15:5. It says, well, let's start out at the beginning first. When they that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And then it says in verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now look at verse 5. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ. Verse 6, it says, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, whatever we do in life, it should be to glorify God, not glorify ourselves, not to have vainglory, not to act and build up ourselves, but whatever we do should be to the edification of God or Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we're not doing those things, then we're basically either serving a false god, or we're serving ourselves, or we're serving Satan. We're not doing the right thing. Arguing with people doesn't accomplish anything. Arguing with people and not being like-minded is exactly what the devil wants, because he's the author of confusion. He loves to stir up the pot. Breaks you away from thinking for Christ, or in the manner of doing what Christ wants. We start doing what we want, and then we start to stand our ground, and we become enemies of one another. Now, I guess my point in a lot of this is this. If you're Christians, then you should love one another as Christians. If you're working for the glory of God, then you're doing what's like-minded in Christ Jesus, in God's manner, in God's commandments, because you wouldn't want to go against God. And that's where the fear of the word, or fear of the Lord, within the word of knowledge, by studying the Scriptures and starting to understand it, you start to see that, wait a minute, certain things I cannot do or should not do, and then like-mindedness would not do. Two people that disagree would say, well, okay, well then, if it's not scriptural, and if there's some kind of, we'll say, dissension among one another, then you should look at it from the standpoint of why argue, except that Satan wants to cause a fight for you. So our like-mindedness falls apart, and we start going against one another, and we become backbiters and fighting and what have you. And that's why I say it's all about how the devil wants to get in there and stir up the pot. He wants to make you unfriendly. He wants to have you not bothering to fellowship with one another, and it causes all of these issues. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me with different situations, right, in their life. They ask my opinion. I start to give them what I think may be or may not be the right thing, or what they're doing may not be right, and they get offensive. Then why ask my opinion? Or for that matter, if there's an issue and it's not scriptural and it's worldly, and I'm trying to help you with it, be it working on a vehicle or trying to do something within the community and it doesn't work out, and that's happened more than enough in the last year, people get so offensive and they just start, now they don't want to talk to you no more. They become, as my mother would say, belligerent, right? Where they just don't want to hear it and they get offensive. They might even call you names. But, you know, if you're telling the truth and you're sincere in the truth, it doesn't matter what others say. You know what God says, and you're doing the right thing. So let's leave it where that is and go on. But you cannot glorify God if you're doing things wrong. Now, the truth, the Bible says the truth will set you free. So stick with that. Stick with knowing what the truth is. Stick at knowing what's best and how it works. Now, I'm going to go over to Romans chapter 5, and I believe it's verse 8. I'm going to go there. So if you'll go with me to chapter 5 of Romans, we'll get there and we'll figure this out together. Romans 5, 8 says this. Yes, this is what I was looking for. Now, I brought this up because even while we were sinners and we were going against God, God still loved us. Because God wants no one to go to hell. God wants you to be led and be guided and strengthened, or he wouldn't have sent someone to share the gospel with you. He wouldn't have you even looking in a Bible. If God didn't love you and if you weren't meant to go to heaven, why would he send someone to share the gospel with you? Why would there be a Bible for you to read? You think about these things, folks. People have said to me, that book's nothing but some man-made thing. Then why does it call so many to do right? And if it's such a just a bunk Bible, a bunk book, and it has no real significance to it, and the Word of God has no power, why has the Bible been around for thousands of years? God's Word has been around since the beginning of time. Why is that? Because God also said that his Word would stand to the end of time. He also said that his Word would be shared throughout all nations. See, it's done for like-mindedness. It's because God calls us to be like-minded in him. It calls us to start listening to the Holy Spirit, to do what's right. And some people would say, well, I know what to do, and I know how to live right. Really? You know what the Bible says about that? It says that you have a proud and haughty spirit. But it also says if you go and learn the Bible and you start to understand it, he says he hid the word in your heart. He hid in you the acknowledgement of knowing right from wrong. And when you acknowledge right from wrong and you start doing right rather than wrong, remember this, God placed that knowledge in your heart. You didn't know that. You didn't just weren't born that way. Your parents didn't just teach you that. And you didn't find it in school, believe me, not certainly not in the schools of today. Okay? There's a lot that goes along with why God says that we should get along with one another. It doesn't matter what color skin, doesn't matter what nationality you are. God says that he uses all of the stones to build his church, and we're nothing but stones in that sense. And that's a parable, folks, so don't misunderstand me. But it says here, it says, listen, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, before we were even born, Christ was dead and died and then risen and gone to heaven, even though you weren't born yet, but God knew you were going to be a sinner, so he sent his only son to die for all the sins of all the people of all this world. But what he asks us to do is to be a believer. He asks us to have faith in the word, have trust in his word, and to be sincere in knowing it and sharing it. And if we don't do that, if we're just going to live our life, and like some have said to me, when I die, I'm just going to go in the ground, and that's the end of it. The bugs will eat me, and that's the end of me. Well, it's really not the end, and the scriptures say that it's not. And if you're a scripturally minded person and like-minded with me, you'll go read your Bible, and you'll find out that that's not true, that you don't just die and go in the ground, and you don't just die, and that's the end of it, and you're not reincarnated. And there is no Son God to save you. Gods, with the little g that everybody talks about, this is my God and that is my God, and this is what I believe and that is what I believe. It says in the Bible, some will someday come to the Lord, and he'll say, I don't know you. He also said some are from Paul and some are from Apollos, but I'm glad that I didn't baptize any of you. You see, because here's the thought. The thought process is these people are fighting and backbiting among one another about who's right and who's wrong. And the only right is, as Paul said, I know nothing but Jesus Christ crucified. And what he was saying was, Jesus was crucified for my sins, and that's all I know. And he saves me from all of those things that are going on in this world. So don't try to act like you're so smart that you know everything. Just read from the Bible. Whatever it is in the scriptures, there isn't a question or a doubt or a fear that can't be answered through the Bible. Whether you have anxiety, depression, or fear, or money problems, or financial problems, or health problems, whatever. I read yesterday, and I almost use this as part of my scripture. If I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ. In all that I do, I am Christ. And I'm paraphrasing the exact paraphrase or words here, but that's exactly what it means. It means if you're Christ, you're Christ, period. Whether you're alive or dead, whether you have a lot of money or you don't, whether you have a lot of possessions or you don't, or if all your needs are met or not, you're still Christ. And everything is always met for the intention of God and for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. That's why we today, when it comes to not having enough money or enough things, I always go, well, whatever God wants me to have, he wills it to me because I gain the inheritance that God has for me. He owns everything. Now I'm going to go to the last scripture that I have for you, and that's John 3:16. And many have already know that. John 3:16 says this. Let's see. I'll get there so that we know exactly, right? I could say it for you because John 3:16 says this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not be condemned. Here's what it says. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. We are saved, whether we know it or not, because Jesus Christ saved us. Not because anything we do, and all of our sins, and we have many of them, and we're going to be saved for that. I want to make sure I got this right. I think it was 1 John 3:16, because I went John 3:16. Let's see. I'm almost sure I got it wrong. That was not where I wanted to be, but that's okay. God always has a better meaning for what we do. Our sins are saved, and many of us have plenty, trust me. Me included. I am not without. No. I don't know why I read this wrong, but that's okay. For some reason, I got it straight. I didn't get it right. But I will tell you this. In my notes, it is right. It's what I wanted written down. So I'm going to go there because I swayed off my page. But it says in my notes, if we're different in times and we have differences, folks, it's not because we want to have differences. If we're not using the scripture to back up what we're doing, we're going to have differences. Okay? There's no doubt in my mind. Here we go. Okay, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That, my friends, is very key important to a Christian's life. If you don't have that, and we can't agree on those things right there in that scripture, then we've got a big problem. We're not Christians, or we're not following the same Lord. It's John 3:16. That's exactly what it says. Now, I don't know what the other one was came up, but it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, those are the things we have to understand. Like-minded people, we need to know that just like it says, because God loved the world, because he gave his only son, because whosoever believeth him should not perish. Now, if you don't believe that, then I have to admit, at least the best to my knowledge, you're not a Christian or you don't want to believe, because if you say I die and I'm going to go in the ground and that's that, then you certainly don't follow the scripture and you're not believing the God that I know, and we're not like-minded. The Bible also talks about being equally yoked as a couple, being equally yoked in a relationship. As people, if we're not equally yoked as Christians, we're going to clash all the time. We're just going to fall apart, folks. We're not going to be able to stand for Christ. In this world today, there's enough going on that we could find something to argue about all day long, every day, and it's a waste of time. It doesn't glorify anyone except for Satan, because he loves to watch a good fight. He's an instigator. He sends his demons around to stir up the pot. He gets you going in the wrong direction. He doesn't want you to glorify him. He doesn't even want you to share his word. He doesn't want God's word shared. Satan would love for you to do nothing more than to talk filthy jokes, talk about the world, talk about things that aren't pertinent to what's Christ-like, that'll keep you off the path, get you away from further away from God instead of closer to God. So if you're not like-minded, where are you? You're fighting, you're backbiting, and you're away from God. Many of the things that go on in this world, like he said, you're condemned already. He said, if you're a non-believer, you're condemned already. It says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And who is the only begotten Son of God? Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, and you want to believe in some other fake God or fake Lord, then guess where you are? You're condemned. Jesus didn't come in the world to condemn anybody. He came into the world to save them all. Now, all these other fake gods don't do anything but toss that aside. Thank you for being here. Let me share in the gospel with you. I hope I made some sense. I don't know if I did or not. Like I said, the message just didn't. I tried real hard to put it together, but I know God had a meaning. And right there is part of it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That alone should be enough. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should finalize everything that I said today. Because either we believe or we don't. And you're going to perish if you don't. You can have everlasting life and know you're going to heaven. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. Here's my last song for you today. I'm going to go over and make sure I get it right, because I certainly don't want to mess it up. Are you washed in the blood? Have a good day. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. William Preacher Bill Barnes. I'll talk to you later. God bless you and have a good day.